This is News Talk.
Well, obviously, the Russia-Ukraine situation dominating the front pages again today. The Irish Examiner looks at the Irish perspective, as in the impact it's all going to have on us and the cost of living. And the warning on the front of the Irish Examiner is that inflation could go as high as 10% in the coming months as the fallout from the Ukrainian war sends the cost of crude oil rocketing and the price of a litre of fuel hovering at around €2. Kieran McQuinn from the ESRI said that Irish inflation will now spike much higher than previously thought and peak later this year at 8.5%. Now, the ESRI, before we had this crisis, thought that inflation would average at 4% this year. Now they're saying it could peak at 8.5%. And economist Jim Power is even more pessimistic. He says inflation could peak at close to 10%. So obviously all of this bad news for our pockets. The Irish Independent this morning, talking about fuel prices, by the way, says that a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, it was costing around €1,500 a year to fill up the car. Now, €2,400. So that'll just show you the absolute increase in the price of the cost of living and in particular the price of fuel. So that's in the Irish Independent this morning. Now, worst yet to come as Putin draws up martial law plans. That's the headline on the Irish Independent. Vladimir Putin has vowed to seize the whole of Ukraine and made clear that the worst is to come as he drew up plans to crush dissent in Russia by imposing martial law. He insisted yesterday the invasion was going to plan, was going strictly to schedule, despite claims from Ukrainian officials that 9,000 Russian soldiers have been killed. And of course, we have this big convoy which hasn't really moved as they try to advance on Kiev there. The papers don't obviously have what happened at the nuclear plant overnight as well, which is really, really concerning. And you heard some of the warnings in the news there. The Irish Daily Mail has a question as its headline: who'll rid the world of this ranting madman? Vladimir Putin last night, never to abandon his assault on Ukraine, in a menacing TV address that bore little relation to reality. He claimed Russian forces were fighting to liberate Ukraine from neo-Nazis. If there's any sort of slight good news, and it will depend now whether this holds or not, but the Irish Times goes with the fact that Ukraine and Russia have reached some sort of agreement over relief corridors to at least allow people to have their suffering eased, to allow people to move around, to get some relief in. That's about the only positive that you can take from this, and that's what the Irish Times goes with this morning. Kiev and Moscow reached an understanding on ways to ease the suffering of people in Ukraine amid fighting that has killed thousands and prompted more than a million to flee the country. The Irish Sun, Kyiv Mila Falcha, they've an exclusive: exhausted Ukrainians fleeing the Russian invasion jetted into Ireland yesterday, and they've some very moving photographs on the front of the Irish Sun of some of those arriving at Dublin Airport. One quoted saying, "It was so hard leaving him. This is a woman who's left behind her husband. He was forced to stay behind. She says it was so hard leaving him. I don't know when we'll get to see him again or when he will get to see his children." And if you saw the news last night, the particular image of a couple of young men who were waving their children off at the train with tears in their eyes, and it was really, really upsetting to see. The Irish Daily Mirror says that Rosanna Davison is offering to take in the Ukrainian surrogate mum who gave birth to her baby. Rosanna, whose daughter Sophia, who's age 2, was born in Ukraine, revealed Russian troops are destroying the woman's home city, and Rosanna has invited her and her daughter to come live with them. The Irish Independent looks at, when refugees come to Ireland, where are they going to be housed? And the government is considering using state land to get some of these factory-made modular homes built as quickly as possible in case of very significant numbers of Ukrainian refugees coming to Ireland. So first of all, when they come to Ireland, they will be put up in hotels, but then you have to move on from that. So they're looking at some of these modular homes, factory-built homes, put them up on some sites, and apparently they're looking at innovative responses for this. There was another interesting story which I saw on the Telegraph this morning, which is that Tesco is considering changing the name of its chicken Kiev to Kyiv in a show of solidarity with Ukraine. Campaigners are obviously calling on supermarkets to drop associations with Russia. So Ukraine's capital was known as Kiev under Soviet rule, but Ukrainians call it Kyiv, which is why you're hearing newsreaders say Kyiv rather than Kiev. Tesco now looking to change it to Chicken Kyiv rather than Kiev. And in the UK, other supermarkets have started boycotting Russian goods. Co-op, for example, saying that it will stop selling Russian-made vodka. Now, on to other news. And we heard about this big Memorial Day to remember those who died with COVID-19, which is going to be on March 20th. But up to 2,000 people who lost loved ones in nursing homes during the pandemic are going to hold their own remembrance service on March 18th. This is according to the Irish Examiner. And organisers, Care Champions, are holding two candlelit vigils in Cork and Dundalk. And they've decided to hold their own event because none of the people involved with organising the National Ceremony of Remembrance had contacted them. And they're people who've lost loved ones with COVID-19 in nursing homes, so they're going off to hold their own service instead. Irish Independent tells us this morning, we're back to dull printers and calendars and things like this. The Irish Independent says the 10,000 calendars produced at the taxpayers' expense for Kerry TD Michael Healy Ray had to be put in the bin after it was discovered that a hyphen was missing when it was sent to the Oireachtas print facility. Apparently the hyphen was missing in his surname between the Healy and the Ray, and the typo was only detected after the calendars had been printed. So 10,000 printed had to be put in the bin. They weren't collected by Michael Healy Ray. They were put in the recycling bin, I should say. And Michael Healy Ray told the journalist Dara McDonough that he said, "I think the polite thing to say is a technical glitch that was beyond my control, and that I'm not saying anything about anybody." He doesn't want to blame someone, essentially, for the technical glitch. But unfortunate that they had to bin 10,000 of them. And it's another story about calendars and Christmas cards and all those different things that some TDs get printed up for them. Now, if you're heading off to Cheltenham, you might have your accommodation booked. If you don't have your accommodation booked, we'll get ready to spend an awful lot of money, because in the Mirror this morning, Irish fans heading to Cheltenham face soaring accommodation costs. Hotel prices jump 500% for that week. It's not just some Dublin hotels that put up their prices for sporting events, it would seem. New research shows that punters will be paying over €2,000 to stay for 3 nights in a hotel during Cheltenham from March 15th to 18th. The average price can rise fivefold for Cheltenham, and the average price of a 3-night stay, if you were to go to the Cotswolds right now, would be about €448. Go during the racing, €2,640. It's a lot of money involved. We also heard recently, of course, that the tickets for the festival, very expensive to buy if you're buying it on one of these second-hand resale sites as well. So a lot of money involved there in Cheltenham. Final story, a nice Friday good news story for you, comes from the Irish Daily Star. Well, it's good news if you like wine. Other people don't drink wine. I wouldn't be a big fan of wine myself. But anyway, if you do, there's good news for today. Tomorrow it could be bad news about wine drinking, so I'm sure you'll take this positive. The news is that people who drink wine with their meals may be at lower risk of developing type 2 diabetes. Research analysed data from 312,000 people and found that drinking alcohol with meals was associated with a 14% lower risk of the condition, that's being type 2 diabetes, compared to drinking alcohol without food. Okay, so the only difference is that you're drinking it with food as opposed to without food. I presume they would say not drinking at all is probably better for you, but you can read more about that in the Irish Daily Star this morning.
This is News Talk.